From the scripture, Luke 4, 1 through 13, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he is tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank my brother in Christ for offering those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? We thank you, loving God, for speaking about our lives, for speaking into our lives, for speaking through our lives. We've heard once again your word. Help us to open our hearts to receive it, to allow it to change us and mold us into the people you would have us be. You love us. Help us to feel that love right now. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. A commentator that I was reading recently offers this interaction between she and her 5-year-old son. Now, she's a minister and a seminary professor. And she asked the question, "What do you know about the devil?" "Well," her son began, "the devil talked to Jesus." He continued by saying, "The devil was mean." And as a theologian and as a professor, she wondered if she shouldn't kind of help him to expand on that idea of mean. And just as she was thinking about that, her son signaled to her to come closer. And he was almost whispering, leaning closer to me and dropping his voice to a loud whisper. He said, "If we were at a store and you and Dad were in one aisle and I was in another aisle, and," and he became even more hushed, "and there was candy, the devil would say, you should take some." It occurred to her that maybe her little boy really did understand the devil and what mean was and what evil was. So she asked him, "Honey, if I were at a store and Dad and I were in one aisle and you were in another aisle and there was candy and the devil said, you should take some, what would you say back to the devil?" And with a genuine sweet smile on his face that lit up his entire face, without hesitation, he said, "Oh, I would say thank you." Go ahead and look at somebody right now. Wonder what I'm going to have you say to that person? Some of you are going to have a real ornery grin on your face after you say this. But I'm going to guide you through it anyways. It's okay to be ornery in church. The devil made me do it. I told you, some of you just the whole countenance changes. And maybe you're talking about something in particular. I don't want to know what it is. But the scripture reading today speaks clearly about the devil. It's one of those passages that strikes us in our imagination. Because the scene that is created is startling and striking in its very nature. The starkness of it gathers us into it, pulls us into the story. And it's one of those stories, one of those scenes involving Jesus as well that we remember, that we recall, that we recollect. Jesus and the devil face to face. It reminds us, and I want to kind of unpack this next phrase. It reminds us that spiritual warfare is real. Now let me unpack that. It means that there are things that are going on in the spiritual realm that we probably will never understand. There are also things that are going on in the spiritual realm that even as things are going well for us, or even after we've experienced a high point in our lives, all of a sudden there's a challenge that literally takes the wind right out of us, cuts us off at our knees, whatever imagery you want to use. It stops us in our tracks, and we wonder, what's going on? Things seem to be going so well. Now all of a sudden, I'm feeling this weight in my heart, in my stomach. I feel like I'm carrying along a burden emotionally. Is it always due to spiritual struggles and warfare? Not necessarily, but they're real. Scripture passage names that. But rather than going into a discussion about the three temptations that Jesus felt, one was dealing with hunger. That is a temptation, isn't it? I've shared with the first service a great sacrifice that I have made for Lent in giving up Brussels sprouts. And I'd like you to pray for me in that challenge so that I don't just sneak one in the middle of the night and go to the refrigerator and pop one in. Hunger is something that motivates us, and I'm going to talk more about that in just a second. It was the first temptation. The second one, we learn, is concerning power and authority. And boy, I tell you what, sometimes that is such a lure for individuals to feel like they have power over someone else or authority over someone else. That's a challenge. The third one, about physical safety, literally being willing to trust in God. Throw yourself off, Jesus. Let's see if your angels are going to catch you. You ever see somebody do that trust game where the person stands straight and falls back and the person behind them catches them? Do I have any volunteers? No. But, you know, Jesus, yeah, the angels are going to catch you. No problem. Don't worry about it. What I'd actually like to talk about more is the very beginning of this passage. We've heard an awful lot about those temptations, haven't we, over the years, probably read about it. Maybe you've even done a Lenten devotional on those in particular. But I'd like to read something else that really struck me once again as I read this in preparation. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, just before this particular passage, in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it talks about the baptism of Jesus. We talked about that a couple of Sundays ago. And it talked about that whole Spirit descending upon Jesus, and that dove descending on the Son of Man, that Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. Truly an exciting time. It had to be encouraging for everybody who was there and empowering for everybody who was there, and no more so than for Jesus himself. He was filled by the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? That Spirit that has filled him, that has encouraged him, that has strengthened him, that same Spirit leads him out into the wilderness. Now, it also strikes me as we read that particular passage that the devil is playing with him the whole time. There are these temptations that are named, but how else was the devil challenging him out in the starkness of the wilderness? You know, around here, we have some wilderness that you can get into. And I have trusted my very life to individuals that I have ridden with on these kind of rickety four-wheel drive vehicles that you see all around here, for them to take me out in the wilderness and not leave me there, but bring me back also. And you know, sometimes as I've been driving around with one or two of those brothers in Christ, there is no greater symbol of hope and release than those little flags that you see driving around in the desert. You say, we're not lost, hopefully. Unless they're lost, then we'll be lost together out in God's wilderness. Some of you may even do that. I think it's wonderful. But you know, isn't it also wonderful to see what you do see out in the wilderness? To experience that? There are some beautiful things out in the wilderness. Some things that you would not see unless you got off the beaten path. Sometimes, after preparing us, after filling us, after strengthening us for the journey, the Spirit will also lead us into wilderness times in our lives. And it's in those times that we can experience some great intimacy with God and wonderful love and growth and strengthening. Wilderness here can be defined in many different ways. The wilderness of a medical diagnosis. The wilderness of a loss. The wilderness of a brokenness in a relationship. The wilderness of a personal struggle that we share with nobody else. In fact, we even struggle to share it with God. And it goes on and on and on. All of those wildernesses that at one time or another, so many of us can find ourselves treading through. Well, who's with us in the wilderness? God. God. God is there. The Spirit led Jesus out to face the enemy, to face Satan face to face, nose to nose. The Spirit of God leads us into those places, strengthening us, nourishing us, guiding us through those challenging times, those dry times in our lives as well. That's a hope, my friend. That's a word of hope for us today, for each and every one that seeks a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. That oftentimes it's those wilderness moments that encourage us to trust in God and to rely on God even more. It's those wilderness times that pull us out of our spiritual stupor, that pull us out of our comfort zone, that stretch us and mold us and have us trust in God first and foremost. Not in ourselves, not in anything else, but in God. Sometimes, the wilderness moments are just what is needed to accomplish that task. A sharing with you, as your pastor, I've been in wilderness moments, more so as your brother in Christ. And I've learned now, and especially as we have this first Sunday of Lent that we're in the midst of right now, and we're on the Lenten journey, that the wilderness times are to be embraced, not shied from. We should encounter them fully and all that it has for us. Jesus encountered those wilderness times fully. What does it also say? He ate nothing at all during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. Do you know of anybody who gets grumpy when they're hungry? Possibly. Who says it's lunchtime, we should be stopping already? You know, that's minor compared to going without food all of this time. Fasting is one of those spiritual disciplines that we can embrace during Lent as well. And I've explained this, that fasting is not simply a matter of going for days and days and days. It can be a meal. It can be a small step towards recognizing who provided that food for us in the first place, you see? It can also be something that reminds us of those who don't have any food. And in that discipline of Lent, again, we are broadened. It's not just about us. Lent kind of pulls us out from ourselves. How is God speaking to you in your wilderness times? This scripture passage reminds us that as we go through challenging times, Jesus did as well. So when we have challenging times, when we are hurt, when we are broken, when we are feeling, where is God? Jesus felt the exact same thing. And if Jesus felt the exact same thing and knows how we feel, then who else understands that as well? God. So you're not alone. In this time, in this journey that we're on, certainly, spiritual warfare, there's challenges, all sorts of things that will come against us. How are we seeing God in the midst of it all? How are we encountering God in a new way and in a surprising way and in a way where we put our trust completely in Him, just as Jesus did? This is about trust, my friends. Do you trust yourself more than you trust God? That's the question of Lent. I invite you to join with me and ponder how you are trusting God, how you could trust God more, how God is helping you to trust Him on this journey. Our call to discipleship is printed in our bulletin, and I invite you to join with me in these words printed on the bottom of the page and onto the top of the next. Let us share these as brothers and sisters in Christ. Loving God, all night I slept in your shadow, sheltered by you. As I enter into the gift of this day, I trust that you are with me. May I see signs and wonders of your presence in the world today. For you alone are God. I ask that this day afford me opportunities to celebrate and share with others the abundance of your grace and love. Help me to be open to all people you bring my way, for you yourself make no distinctions, but are Lord of all. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.